As y'all know, because Britton told y'all already, I'm Tristan. So this is the first sermon I've ever given. I shared my testimony with the middle schoolers in like a time period, and that went all right, but learned from that. And so just bear with me. This might be a little bit different than usual. Definitely will be different than usual. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, starting out. So, y'all missed the most critical point of what the paper said, which is just read everything. That way you ended up not having to shout, go, go, go. And what was the other one? Broccoli or something that made you shout? That's funny. So, what if you think you're doing this whole Jesus thing right, but you have really missed the one critically important point of all of it? That's kind of what I want y'all to be thinking about going throughout tonight. So, Matthew chapter 9, you should be there by now, hopefully so. Chapter 9, verse 9. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth and said to him, "Follow me." All right. Passed on from where? You know, well, Jesus just got done healing a paralyzed dude. You know that like paralyzed guy over there that's walking now? Yeah, he's walking, not paralyzed anymore. That's where he's passing on from. Just give you that context. So tax collectors, I'm sure a lot of y'all have heard about them growing up in church. But what they did at that time is they pretty much stole your money by saying, well, you owe the government $500 when really you only owe the government $300, but they want $200. So they're going to tell you you owe them $500, and they pocket the $200. So nobody really likes these guys. They're not liked at all. And everybody kind of knows exactly what they're doing. It's crazy that Jesus were to talk to this dude who's a tax collector and then be like, "Follow me." So, you know that guy that you just don't talk to because they did that thing? That's where Matthew is kind of right now. And to further illustrate that point, you know that guy that broke up with his longtime girlfriend over a text and then said like some like really crappy thing like, "Oh, I don't love you anymore." Like that guy. Like if you're best friends with the girl that got broken up with that guy, you don't talk to that guy. He's that guy, right? So we don't like this guy. Nobody likes this guy because he did that thing. Well, you might be sitting there, and I hope you didn't break up with your girlfriend over text and whatnot and say, "I don't love you anymore," or whatever. That's not cool. But even if you did, you might be sitting there, and you might have done something, because you have done something at some point in your life that's sin. And knowing you're kind of like Matthew, you've been told by Jesus, like, "Hey, follow me." And you're like, "Okay, hopefully." So you might even be like the disciples with Jesus, trying to do what Jesus is doing, invite people to come in, being the mouthpiece of Jesus and telling them, "Hey, follow Jesus, because Jesus is the whole point of our existence." So what it says, continuing in verse 9, "And he rose and followed him." So I separated this from the rest of the verse because I think it's really important. Matthew made the choice to get up, follow this dude he's kind of heard about and whatnot. It's a Jesus guy because they're in Nazareth. So Jesus of Nazareth, you've heard of him. So he gets up and he follows him. He drops his whole like ordeal with his tax collecting thing. He's probably making some good money. He's dropped everything he had. He just follows Jesus. So are you willing to drop everything because you know Jesus, because you know living for Jesus is what's right for you? That's worded weird. Let me retry that. Are you willing to drop everything because you realize Jesus is the Son of God and what he did for you? So moving on into verse 10. "And as Jesus reclined at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples." So poof, now we're at Matthew's place, chilling. They're doing this thing. He says, reclined at the table in the house. I don't know about you, but I don't recline at tables. I think that's bad manners. But back then, 2,000-ish years ago, it wasn't weird. I need something to recline on. So, you know, my table might be like in front of me right here, and I'm just going to do this number. Like, this is their reclining thing. Just chilling, eating. Oops, I shouldn't have done that. All right, stalling, making long walks in between. I'm just kidding. So now you know, like, they would recline at the tables. It's just how they ate, so that's why it says that. Tables were low to the ground. They laid their legs, like, horizontally while they were propped up, like I was trying to do over there on the sub, and that didn't work out well. So it also says in here, flipping around a lot, as Jesus reclined at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came. So you have this word behold, and I don't know about y'all, but I don't say behold a lot. Behold is to observe. So it basically, Matthew writing this is saying, like, look, like, Jesus hanging out with all these tax collectors and quote unquote sinners. So wherever, you know, they fall on that spectrum and whatever their faults are, they're all hanging there with Jesus. That's really crazy, because now Jesus went from talking to this tax collector who's not supposed to be talking to, not because of any particular reason other than he's just that guy, to now he's hanging out with a lot of these people and kind of having a party at Matthew's house. So I like to imagine Jesus just like chilling with the guys, like reclining at the table. I like don't know what the biblical man food of that time is, but we're going to go with wings for now. Like, they're all just chilling, eating hot wings, buffalo wings, whatever. And that's just, they're just having fun. Jesus simply wants to hang out with you, whether it's you eating some wings and talking to him or whatever else you like to eat. I like to eat pizza. I'm an American Italian, so that's like an American Italian dish. Side point, squirrel. Anyways, so he loves you even though you're not great. We all know we're sinners. At least I hope so. For all I've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And you should want to tell others about Jesus. Matthew invited all of his not cool, or what's the right word? Kind of shunned friends who are all tax collectors and sinners, invited them all over, like, hey, come meet this Jesus guy. We're going to have some wings. So anyways, that's what God wants. God wants you to be able to invite people to Greenhouse. I'm sure a few of you have invited people to Greenhouse. This might be your first time. If so, welcome. I'm not usually the one that speaks. Usually somebody who's a little bit better at this is. But I'm glad you're here. Don't come back next week. We'll be out of town. But I hope you're going to Beach Breakaway. Anyways, so basically, Jesus wants to spend time with you, and you should want to be telling others about him. So moving on. Verse 11, and when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Pharisees were like the like uber great religious leaders who often acted as if they were better than others. And in a lot of cases, they followed like, you know, all the rules. They made sure they didn't do the bad stuff that it says in all the rules. And they really did try to live for the Lord through those rules. And they thought they were doing it right. That's good. We should try to do that, of course. But they definitely were at a point where they don't associate with these tax collector or sinner people who they're obviously way better than. So lost my spot. Where'd it go? So it's kind of like where you're sitting in that situation and, you know, the guy who broke up with his girlfriend over text message and everything, you're kind of like, I'm not going to do that to anybody because I'm better than that. Well, you're not. And the point is, you're not trying to be, you want to forgive those people, and you also don't want to feel that you're better than them or be self-righteous. around them. So Christians in the room, please don't fall into the trap of doing what the Pharisees were doing, where they thought that they were better than everybody else because they do this, they don't do that thing, and they do this one right, and they don't do that. Just the point is to make sure that you are following Christ and having mercy on others. Now, Jesus calls us to spend time with people who are, you know, simply sinners or may not be saved. So we want to make sure that we are spending time with those people. And even people who are, of course, saved. But when you're in a situation, you're gonna try to hang out with somebody who you know they might not even know about the Lord. You want to make sure you make a good influence on them, and you want to make sure that the devil doesn't use them to pull you away from God. So that's kind of my disclaimer on making sure you're spending time with people who may not be living for the Lord. In verse 12, but when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick." So we just went from the Pharisees being like, "Why are you hanging out with these dudes?" to skip something. To Jesus saying, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick." So to better illustrate that, when you're, you know, all right, you don't go to the doctor unless if you're sick, right? I mean, unless if it's a routine checkup. We'll leave that out of there. I don't know if they did that back in biblical times. Maybe. But you don't go to the doctor, even if you are sick, when you deny that you're sick and you're like, "Nah, it's fine. It's just like maybe a sinus infection, or I'm just not feeling good today." But you go to the doctor when you're sick, you realize it, and you tell somebody, "Hey, I need to go to the doctor." Jesus is trying to make the point to the Pharisees that these people who are sinners and hanging out with them, they know that they're messed up. They know that they've got to have Jesus to cleanse that. And they're there hanging out with Jesus, Jesus hanging out with them, and they're getting that. Just like as if they're going to the doctor. Except it's a lot more fun than going to the doctor hanging out with Jesus. Especially in this context. So, just going to gather my bearings here. Y'all are doing the blank face thing again. I'm trying. Just kidding. Anyways. So Jesus illustrates that point. You need to recognize that you're not better than these people, and you need to recognize that you need me just as bad as they do. So that's the thing. You're, in a sense, terminally ill until you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you recognize what he did for you. So moving on to verse 13, Jesus says, "Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." So the Pharisees had good knowledge, very good knowledge of the Old Testament. And when Jesus says, "I desire mercy and not sacrifice," he makes a reference to Hosea 6:6, which says, "For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than that of burnt offerings." Jesus is straight up saying, "Follow me and have mercy on others." He doesn't want you to just follow this big list of rules, okay, your sacrifices, right? It's more about recognizing who he is and recognizing that you need him. So to define mercy, it's an attitude to do something about other people's needs. Jesus wants them to realize they have it all wrong. Kind of like some of you had it all wrong when you started shouting, "Go, go, go." He wants you to love him as well as others and not just follow Lissa's rules, as I said before. Jesus' point is to stop judging others as if you're better than them, because you're not. Please realize that now. You're not better than anybody. I'm not better than anybody. And from this, even though this is a lot shorter than I wanted it to be, That's okay. I hope that the point that you can recognize is you need to follow Jesus, and you need to have mercy on others. Go have consistent mercy on others. Don't just like go do one thing for one person. But always recognize when you see a need, do something about it. Even if that person doesn't deserve it, do something about it. So, to wrap it up, kind of, my point, I'm going to reread throughout the whole, all of what Jesus said, just to put it all together. Jesus passed on from there. He saw a man called Matthew sitting at a tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. And as Jesus reclined at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and the disciples. And when Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." I hope you can go home and be able to dwell on that, because I can only talk about it so much, especially because I'm struggling right now. But anyways, for those of you who haven't accepted Christ, I just want you to know Jesus Christ died for you, and he didn't do that just so you wouldn't accept it. He wants you to accept that. Jesus wants to be there for you and for you to live for him, because that's the most fulfilling thing you can do. He designed you to be in perfect eternity with him. And of course, that was broken with sin. For those of you who have accepted Christ, I want y'all to hopefully be able to think about where the Pharisees were at this point and make sure that you're not falling into the devil's trap of you thinking that you're better than other people when you're not. Be more merciful towards others, and really just try to look for the needs in others and try to be there for them.
Amen. I really wanted more of y'all to do all this. Jog slowly around the room one time calling out, "Broccoli." I really wish you had done that. Jesus says, "Man, I didn't come for the ones who think they're okay. You know, I came for the ones that knew they needed help." I remember one time I totaled a car one day. One of the times I did that, and that's a different story. And so I got home. You know, my dad's all mad because I totaled a car, and you know, it's dad stuff. And I was gonna be like all like dramatic about it, and I was sitting on the floor, and dad's, you know, fussing, "You totaled another car," and I was like, "What?" You know, and so I was going to be dramatic about it. Instead of like getting up off the floor like a normal person to do whatever I was going to do next, I like punched the floor for dramatic effect. It was dramatic, all right, because there was this pop sound, and it hurt a lot. And then he says, "You good?" And I was like, "Yeah, real good." And then this was back when AIM was a thing. Like, you don't even know what that means. It was like you had these old giant computers and you had to type stuff to people on full-size keyboards, which you've never done before in your entire life. And so I get on the internet and dial up, like, you don't know what that means either. And so I started typing the messages to my girlfriend about how mean my dad is, but my pinky finger just wouldn't work. It just didn't move. It was fine. It's totally fine. And so I kept going, and like it started swelling. And it turned like a size of a plum over here. And it was like pulsing and like real gross. And it hurt a lot, but I was fine. And then the next morning I went to school and my mom's like, "What's wrong with your hand?" And I was like, "I'm fine." And eventually I had to come to the point where I just had to admit I wasn't fine. And I actually had to go get the thing that was wrong with me addressed and fixed. So I know for a lot of us, there's this unwillingness to say, "Yeah, I actually need a physician. There's some stuff that's going on with me that I actually need somebody to come alongside and help." So just like Tristan said, there is a God who loves you in the midst of your ugly, in the midst of your brokenness, and he already knows how busted you are anyway. So you trying to hide it from him ain't going to work anyway. So the more and more you realize how messed up you are, the more and more thankful you are for Jesus. So in that regard, I'm thankful for realizing how jacked up I am. So I just want to say that. I don't want you hiding your brokenness, like, because he didn't come for the people that say they're okay. He cared for the ones that needed him.